And as Henry VIII said to his fourth or fifth wife, I'll not keep you long. You might be wondering what we do here. If you're a guest, you are a treasured guest. We pray for guests all the time. So you're an answer to prayer. We're thankful you folks are here tonight. And we are thankful to have you with us. You might look over on the far wall over there. You'll see a whole list of letters. Those are prayer letters from missionaries. This is our missions month. And you've probably heard Pastor already talking about our missions month. This is the month that we promote in the church. We remind everybody how important it is to pray for our missionaries. Obviously, if you're not a church member, we're not asking you to take part in that. Although, if you want to pray for our missionaries, I'm sure that they'll be glad to have your prayers. Everybody that prays for a missionary invests in that missionary. Now, what the church does, the Great Commission is this. The Great Commission is to proclaim salvation. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, it says this, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not have the Son of God in your heart, you are not yet what we call saved. And because you are not saved, you do not yet have eternal life. In fact, if you back up to verse 11, it says, And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And then go on to verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then John writes this, These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that I have eternal life. That's all I had to do. That is absolutely all I had to do was to trust Him as my Savior. Now you say, well, what am I being saved from? What am I being saved from? That's a good question, and I'm going to try to answer it for you this evening. And if you already know the answer, bear with me. Most everybody in here does know the answer, but if there's one in here that does not know the answer, we'll look back at Romans chapter 3. This is a run-and-gun message. We call this a Bible drill message. We turn from Scripture to Scripture to Scripture to Scripture, and we'll go real fast. If I leave you in the dust, please write it down and check up on me. I like to have people check up on me. If I'm speaking heresy, you need to know it. And this book is the proof of whether or not I'm speaking heresy. By the way, I'm a guest preacher this evening. You need to come back. You really need to come back and hear the real pastor of this church. He loves His people, and if you become a member of His church, He's going to love you just like He loves everybody else. And He has done that for a lot of years. Way more than He'd care to have me tell you. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, that one that describes you, that describes me, that describes our pastor. In his own right, he was not righteous. Brother Jeff was preaching for me down in Norwich today. He is not righteous in his own right. There's not a man, woman, or child in here that is righteous of their own right. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Imagine that. You might be saying, well, I've been a good employee. I've been a good husband or wife. I've been a good this or a good that all of my life. And yet without God, you're unprofitable. Without God, I am unprofitable. You know, if I live my life, I'm saved. If I don't live my life for God, I'm unprofitable. But there is none that doeth good. No, not one. That finishes up verse 12. And then it goes on to say, their throat is an open sepulcher. That's a grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and all the way of peace, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of things that describe people in this day and age. And describe people in every day and age. You might be thinking we're living in the worst of times right now. It seems pretty bad for us. And for most of us, this is the worst time we've ever seen. But there have been Christians in years past all around this world for the last 2,000 years that have had times where they were persecuted even as much as the Jews were in Hitler's Germany. And some of that goes on in this day and age in other countries. We live in a blessed country. All have sinned. Verse 23 of this same chapter says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, you and I do have an appointment with death. Now, you and I are going to do everything we can to avoid that appointment with death. I don't really want to die. But now as a Christian, as Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I get to heaven, I get no more aches, no more pains, no more fillings in the teeth, no more eyeball glasses. By the way, you all look much better now. But I can't read, so I put my glasses back on and we both have to endure because you are looking at me. And I know that is an endurance test. So keep your eyes on the scripture, you'll be much better off. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, there was a rich man. He lived well. Verse 19 says, there was a certain man, rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know, rich people in this day and age, they fare well and they live sumptuously. And you want to know what? They don't think they need God. This rich man did not think he needed God. And the way you know that is from his attitude towards the next man. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. Why was this rich man not taking care of this poor beggar? The beggar was just asking for the crumbs from his table. Man, he should have said, listen, I'm gonna get a room set up for you. What did the Good Samaritan do? The Good Samaritan didn't have much of a wherewithal, but he saved that man, he rescued him, he bound up his wounds, he took him to an inn. And he paid to have him taken care of. I'm going to put a cough drop in because I'm about to lose my voice. Don't want to do that until we're done. You want me to do that now. But anyways, what wound up happening was this man did not have God as part of his life. And so because of that, when he died, he went to hell. Verse 23 says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He wound up in hell. We looked at this morning in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. We'll not turn there now, but at the end of the millennium, death and hell get cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death, and that is forever. So hell really kind of isn't forever, except that it's going to get thrown into the lake of fire with everything else and everyone who dies without God as their Savior. But you know, there's a wonderful thing about the bad news. When it comes to the bad news in God's Word, you know, our God, most people don't realize this, our God is not looking to kill everybody who steps out of line one time. He redeems us so that He can use us, so that He can have fellowship with us, so that we can be a blessing to other people. And when you become one of His children, that is one of the greatest things in the world. But here in Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, it reiterates that very bad news, for the wages of sin is death. And then he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the gift. Back in chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ died for this sinner. I know how worthless I am. I know how worthless I am since I've been saved. I get up every morning and I know what my thought life is and I have to repent of that. And I have to go to God and ask Him to forgive me for the things that I think. Somebody hurts my feelings, and what do when somebody hurts your feelings? Wring his neck. Isn't that what you think? Yeah, okay. And the fact is, those are not godly thoughts. Do you know Jesus was on the cross? They spit in His face. They ripped out His beard. They beat Him with a cat of nine tails. They made Him carry His own cross. And when He got to the cross, He said, let go. Now I'm going to tell you something. Any man going to his death is going to fight every step of the way. But Jesus didn't. And when those Roman soldiers, and they probably had the two biggest guys, kind of like maybe Jeff and Jim, hanging on either side of him, and maybe Brennan back there with a ball bat just to make sure he didn't get out of line. Okay. Brennan's a little guy, but he's kind of tough and mean. But the fact is, they probably had two of the biggest guys holding Jesus, and I believe that he said, let go.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe that he laid down on that cross. Here, you want to see the verse? I don't have the verse written down. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I don't think I have the right verse here, but 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. By the way, Jesus Christ is a Savior, right? It says God our Savior. You know what that means? Jesus Christ is God. Okay, a little doctrine there for you. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And I believe, I don't have the verse where it says he laid down his life, and if one of you scholars wants to come up with it real quick, holler it out. But in the meantime, I believe he laid down his life. And I mean that when he got to the cross, he said, let go.
Yeah.
And I think he laid down and said, all right, boys, do what you are supposed to do. Those guys probably sat there and said, we've never seen anyone like this. The centurion said, surely this was the Son of God after he died. He watched that man die with grace and say to another, to a sinner, not another sinner, but a sinner on one of those two crosses, say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That same sinner, both sinners were castigating him and making fun of him and giving him a hard time. But one of them said, hey, you know what? This guy's different. He's not like me and Joe. He's like no one I've ever seen before.
Amen.
And he said, Lord, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. And he says, today thou shalt be with me.
Amen.
That's grace. And when he died, his parting words were, it is finished. But right before that, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I can tell you right now, I would probably have a hard time with that unless I had God's grace on me. I'd also probably put up a lot of fight for a little guy. The Son gave himself. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Help if I read 1 John chapter 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid... There it is. That's the verse I was looking for. I just didn't get far enough in the outline. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So there's the verse. So now you don't have to look it up. You can write it down. Now the thing is, the only thing left to do is believe. Now you might be saying, well, what is there to believe? Well, let me first tell you that there's some responsibilities that go in here. There's the sinner's responsibility, there's the saint's responsibility, and there's God's responsibility. Now I'm going to give you the saint's responsibility first. That's what missions is all about. But missions isn't just going around the world. Missions starts when we hit those doors. No doubt you have been handed a gospel tract at one time or another. And I don't have any in my pocket, to my discredit. You'd think I would have remembered to put one in my pocket because I'm preaching this message. But we have gospel tracts on the wall on the right-hand side going out. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We hand those tracts out. We give those to people. And when someone gives you one of those, that is because they are concerned for your soul. That is part of what we do as Christians. We call that sowing seed. But maybe you've gotten multiple tracts, and maybe you sat down and read those. And they'll explain salvation to you. That is our responsibility. In Romans chapter 10, we see that responsibility. And I promise you, I won't keep you too much longer. I hear some tummies rumbling, and probably some people looking to get the last chance at ice cream down the road. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You can't know the gospel until you hear the gospel. You can't believe in something you don't know anything about. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to tell you. And that's not a preacher like me being a preacher, like Pastor being a preacher. That's a preacher being a friend, a cousin, a valued employee, a boss, somebody who gives you the gospel and tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the preacher. That's not what you would call a normal preacher, but that's what our job is to do. And how shall they preach except they be sent? When we go out of here, we're sent out of here. We, meaning everybody in this congregation, we're sent out of here to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've heard from one or more of us, praise God for that. Please listen close. And we're sent out with power, and we're to be sent out with tears. In Psalm 126, we looked at that real quick. Psalm 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Listen, Christians. Listen to me, Christians. We are to sow in tears and we will reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need to pray over those tracts. We get them, we need to pray over them, then we need to say, Lord, help me to give them to the right person today. Help me give the right tract to the right person. But then there's a responsibility for the sinners. You see, you've heard the gospel. You've heard that you're a sinner. You've heard that Jesus Christ paid the price. Now, all you have to do is this. Look at John chapter 1. This is the gospel of John, not 1 John. Gospel of John. And chapter 1 says this. In verse 11, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, if we believe what this book says about the Son of God, and we realize that He's been sent for our salvation, the only thing left for us to do is even to them that believe on His name. You say, what is that? That's your responsibility. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We were just in the book of Romans a couple minutes ago, but for some reason I can't find it again. God moves it around sometimes, I think. It could just be the heart medicine. Who knows? It's probably kicking in now. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What are you going to do? Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me and save my soul? That hard. It's that hard. Now, you know, some people have a real problem with pride. Well, I've got to do it on my own. Listen, you can't do it on your own. If you could do it on your own, this book would tell us how to do it on our own. All you can do on your own is say, God, I surrender. We're going to sing that song, I Surrender All, in a couple minutes. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can come forward when we sing that song. We'll show you from this book how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. We'll show you. If you've got questions, we'll answer those questions. We'll do our best to answer every question you've got. And I think that's almost all that needs to be said, except to finish reading this. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Do you know what being ashamed would be? Going and asking for something and somebody saying, no, I'm not giving it to you. Do you want to know what? I'm going to tell you something. God never turns away a sinner. You repent of your sin, God will never turn you away. Christian, if you're not living right with God, and Christians have all the capabilities of not living right with God, you can get right with God. And when you turn your heart back towards God, ask Him to forgive you. He does. So if you're here and you're not doing what you should be as a Christian, you can make that right. Let's finish this up. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Do you know He doesn't look down His nose at you? I might look, it'd be hard for me to look down my nose at most anybody. You see how tall I am. The only way I'm going to do that is if I'm standing on this platform. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. You might think, well, they're going to look down their nose at me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us that is saved spent some time either at an altar in a church or in a house somewhere where we're talking with family. I got saved talking to my dad. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ talking to my dad. And there's any one of a number of testimonies here of people that got saved at different times. It's all about turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him for salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. And then the only thing left is God's responsibility. So you got the saint's responsibility, which is to tell you. The sinner's responsibility, which is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last of all, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And I love this verse. I love this verse because it points to Christians and says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. He's talking to Christians, but look what he says last. It says, whereby ye are sealed. Listen, I'm on my way to heaven. I cannot sin my way out of going to heaven. I can tell you this. The Lord's changed my heart such that I don't want to sin. Such that I could ever lose my salvation. We kid about it from time to time. If I could ever lose my salvation, this would have been the time. You know, usually when I'm driving. Okay. But the fact is, I can't lose my salvation even when I'm driving and all the idiots are on my road. I'm going to tell you, that is a wonderful thing. Because what God does is rather than say, Rich, you don't deserve heaven, which I still don't. He says, Rich, you need to make that right. And a lot of times he does that now. Before any word has come out of my mouth or any action has come out of my hands or my feet. He just puts me under conviction. That's a wonderful thing. You know why? Because now I don't have to, when I get right before I say the wrong thing or before I do the wrong thing, I only have to get right with God. And I don't have to be embarrassed at how I've acted. You say, well, I would be embarrassed. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God already knows all about you. He knows the thought you just thought just before I said, He knows the thought you just thought. I hope I said that right. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He loves you with all His heart. And He loves you with His life. He gave it on the cross of Calvary. Father, thank You for Your love and mercy. And thank You for these folks and their time. Lord, I pray that if there's one here tonight that does not know You as Savior, that they will come to become one of Your children this evening. And Lord, I pray that You be with every Christian in here. Help us to walk with You. Help us to seek Your face. Help us to seek other souls to save as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 308.
Okay.